My name is Dan Murad, and I'm your superintendent of schools. And I'm going to provide the introductory comments this evening and as we get into our program. I do need to check before I get into my remarks. I just need to know, is there anyone here that needs interpretation?
¿Hay alguien en la audiencia que necesite interpretación en español?
Okay, thank you very much. Again, good evening and welcome to Hamilton Middle School. Tonight's gathering is an important one for all of us. Our goals for this forum are as follows. Number one, to provide information to you about our recently approved Talented and Gifted plan for the district. This plan was approved on August 17, 2009 by the Board of Education. Number two, to provide you, members of our community, an opportunity for input into specific aspects of the implementation of this plan. The district's recently revised mission statement reads as follows, and this was done all as part of our strategic plan. Our mission is to cultivate the potential of every student to thrive as a global citizen by inspiring a love of learning and civic engagement, by challenging and supporting every student to achieve academic excellence, and by embracing the full richness and diversity of our community. This evening, there are many words in that mission statement that resonate with me as we gather and talk about your children, the potential of every student, by challenging and supporting every student to achieve academic excellence, and by embracing the full richness and diversity of our community. As I have listened over this past 16 months since I've joined you as your superintendent, it is clear to me our need to ensure a focus on every learner, to ensure that the needs of our kids who have advanced learning needs are met, those kids that are currently meeting standards, and that we have a need to ensure that their learning advances. We also have the responsibility to focus as a district on our achievement gap issues. An important part of this commitment, I want you to know from my perspective, is in ensuring that the needs of our talented and gifted students are met. The strategic planning process in and of itself was confirming of our need to advance learning for all of our kids in this district. As I joined this district a little over a year ago, it was clear to me that we needed to revisit the needs of our advanced learners. Further discussion confirmed 1991 as the last time the district developed a defined TAG plan. It was also clear from these discussions that we were not meeting state standards for gifted and talented students, minimally, not exclusively, but minimally in two important areas. One, the identification of gifted and talented students, and two, ensuring a broad range of programming options for your kids. My request of staff, after those discussions and that review, was that we would recreate a talented and gifted plan, and that we would use this plan to improve our efforts in serving this very important population of students, the children within your families. Additionally, I ask not just for TAG-related purposes, but for a broad range of purposes that we survey parents that opted to have their children attend a school in a different district than ours. We needed to learn from that experience about what were the reasons for parents making that decision. And we learned that programming options, in particular, for talented and gifted students represented one of the reasons for this decision on their part. You know, one of the things, and I don't intend to turn this into a discussion about school funding, but one of the things a superintendent has to be is what I'll call a capologist. And that is that for every child under this current formula, which is, by the way, very outdated for funding our schools, every child counts. And so we had a reason to try to understand what would be ideas that people would send their children to other districts. And we learned a great deal from that survey. You know, I felt it was important that we understand, and I know the Board of Education felt it was extremely important that we understand those reasons. I also believe that the response of wanting those parents wanting us to focus more constructively over time on meeting the needs of TAG students was something that we, in fact, could do something about as a school district. And these discussions were recently reinforced, again, as part of that decision to create a TAG plan. My message to you this evening is in fact one of commitment. And my work as your superintendent will be to ensure that we are implementing this plan that we will share with you this evening. In fact, the tank plan has now been recognized as part, it's been brought into the district's new strategic plan, which I believe provides further indication of the school board's commitment and what their intentions are in support of this work. In the tank plan, there are major changes within our district that need to occur, not the least of which are changes in the area of identification and student programming. There are also, for example, major changes recommended related to curriculum at the high school level. You know, I realize for those of you that had a chance to read today's State Journal article that there are concerns within this community about meeting the needs of TAG children. Those needs certainly were underscored in that article, and that fact is not lost on me. And the fact of the matter is that we do have a lot of work to get done if we're going to serve your children better. We are not where we need to be, but with our strategic plan and our new TAG plan, I believe we can get there and that we will get there. And I would ask you, as you come and join us tonight, that you understand that we now have a roadmap, a road that we can travel to better meet the needs of your children. I know we can do it, and that will be our commitment. At the same time, I do know there are frustrations within the parent community. And tonight we will learn more from you about what needs to be done, and I think that is a good thing. In turn, I want you to know that beyond my commitment and the Board of Education's commitment to this plan, that I do observe our TAG staff working to implement the plan that the board approved in August. And I would ask that your understanding that they in turn need all of our support if these changes are to be made in our district. At this point in time, we need people to serve as critical friends as this plan is being implemented. We do not mind criticism, but our staff members in this area in particular need all of our support if this work is going to be done well. In fact, I will state it this way. Our current understaffed TAG department needs all of our support. And I believe together we can get this done, and I am committed to this work. And I ask you, as you come together with us tonight, that you commit to work with us as we go about implementing this new plan. Just a few thanks, and then we'll get on with our program. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight. Obviously, we know that this is an important topic. I would also like to thank the TAG Advisory Committee for their help in developing the TAG plan. I want to thank the members of the Board of Education who have joined us tonight, Arlene Silvera, Marge Passman, Beth Moss. Have I missed anybody? Okay, thank you very much for coming out to be able to hear input tonight from these parents. And finally, I do want to thank our TAG staff. I want to thank our students in this district for telling us that we have a need to serve them better. I can assure you that we are, again, committed to this work, and this will be our opportunity to share this work with you and to receive your input about five specific areas, and then a general conversation for people that want to attend that about how we can advance this work in support of your children. I've been asked to just check one thing, a show of hands by attendance area in our school district. We'll do high school. So how many are from the Memorial High School attendance area? No matter where your children are attending, you can get a look of the hands. How many from the West High attendance area? How many from East High School? And then how many from La Follette? And then how many from Shabazz? And then, have I missed anybody? I hope not. It is now my pleasure to introduce to you Barbie Klevikowski, our interim TAG coordinator, who will provide an overview of our TAG plan. Thank you very much for coming.
Very long time, and he gave the charge to our division,
we embraced, because we knew for years, and some of us have been around a very long time in this field, we recognized that there was a great deal of room for improvement in what we did. So we were really excited when Dan came on board and said, my charge to you is to write a new plan. So we began that work last spring and worked over the summer writing it, and it was approved in August. So again, we're really excited to have this as a guideline for our work, because we know that there's a lot of room for improvement, and that will help us reach our goals in doing that. So with our plan in place, I would just like to add to what Dan had said, and I speak for our TAG staff, who will introduce themselves shortly, that I feel completely supported in the district from administration. I feel that, and I'm speaking for all of us, that many doors have opened since our plan has been approved, and I really feel that there's a new feeling about this work and a TAG division in this district that hadn't been in place before. So we are getting to connect with many more divisions and district resources to help us in accomplishing our work. With that said, before I go any further, I'd like to introduce our TAG staff.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm Bettine Lippman, and I represent 9 elementary schools on the west side of Madison.
And I'm Carrie Burns, and I represent Eastside Elementary Schools.
Lucirelli, also Eastside Elementary Schools, plus Shorewood.
Sue Steffens, I do the math GEMS program. And work with other areas of math with the TAG program.
And we have one more.
I'm Shelley Sopa, and I'm mainly on the west side and have one school on the east side. Hi.
What level are you?
Elementary, yeah.
Thanks.
Before I go on, and I wanted to announce that I don't know if you recognized it, but you're being filmed, you're being taped. So if anybody has an issue with that, you might want to talk to the person and make sure they don't get you on camera if you're not comfortable with it. You have a handout, obviously, with questions, an agenda, and a letter that was sent to the board when we approved the plan summarizing the plan itself. It's an executive summary. And in our work writing the TAG plan, we had a subcommittee. We had the TAG advisory help us write the plan and begin the work last spring, as I said. And then we had a core group of people that helped us through the summer to complete the writing on that. And I'd like to recognize those people that are here now. Carol, Trone. There was a core group of people that helped us write it, so I'm going to recognize them now. Thank you so much. Carol, Lori Frost is in the back. Chris Gomez, is Chris here? Chris Gomez. And then it was district staff, myself, Lisa Wachtel, and Carrie Burns. So thank you so much for all of that. Again, we are really excited to have this in place, and I think we can tell by the number of people here how much we care about moving this forward. So your handouts have that summary of our plan, and I'm going to do a short PowerPoint, and I apologize because a lovely man came and set it all up, and that screen is not working for us, so I have one screen. And by the way, I'm actually going to apologize for the number of people who are here. I will admit, I thought the facility would be fun. So Dan did a little bit of a history of how we got here today, that we didn't have a plan approved in a long time. I'm not going to go over that. I'm going to focus on how we came to get to the goals we did. We have 8 major goals and, of course, many action steps behind that. And Carrie and the team are going to step forward and use the PowerPoint as a guide to talk about what those goals entail. Actually, before we go on to that, and Carrie and Bettine, if you want to be ready to do that, we actually plan to have breakout groups today based on the 5 questions. I'm hearing from some of our facilitators that we're still able to do that. It's very crowded in here, but we use those as guiding questions to help discussion. And again, we really want your input.
So the other thing that we came up with is, if with those five questions you don't get your questions or concerns heard, we have index cards on the table, and we'd like you to drop them in the blue bins at the door. Sue Steffens is holding up the bins. And we commit to answering questions and concerns and posting it on the website by the week of December 14th, because we really do want to hear from everybody, and we know that it's difficult to answer these questions tonight. Also, I'd like to mention that we are committed to posting updates on our website monthly, and we've been doing that, and we will continue to do that as well. So we are going to try breakout groups around those five questions. And on the table, it indicates the question number, and that's what the discussion will be guided, and there will be a facilitator taking notes, and then we will collect all of that information. We hope to come back and do a little bit of a share out and then talk about next steps.
Is your website listed on this sheet?
I don't think so, but if you go to the district website, it comes up as a bullet point. It's right here. It's tagged. It's right here.
So we're going to give a brief overview, and I'm sure I'll miss some points you'll want to know, so make sure you ask those questions in your groups or on a card, okay? I'm going to start with identification. our district has been operating in a reactionary mode all of these years, and what I mean by that is by parental concerns or from teachers calling us with a concern that they can't meet the needs of certain students. We run in then and do our best, okay? But what happens because of that, because it's reactionary and not proactive, we miss lots of students. Students who do not have parent advocates, students who are in classrooms with teachers who do not have any training, do not recognize kids' needs. And so we realize that because of this, we have not done what we need to do, because you need to identify before you know what kind of programming you're going to need. So we are working towards a proactive, and what this means is we need to improve our assessment tools, number one. Right now, we know that the WKCEs, which is a screener of everybody in the district, but we know it is not a good indicator of giftedness. Okay, we know that. Since WKCE is going to be phased out as a district, I know our district right now is looking at some other tools that we're very anxious to get into place, okay? If we have another academic indicator that actually brings students above grade level, we will know what students need academic help, okay? So that's the one thing we are looking forward to, and that's a district initiative. We're not just in charge of that one. So we're looking at other academic measures of growth and progress for students, so that will be coming up. We also realize that we've only been dealing with academics all these years, and there are five areas that we need to be identifying in. So besides the academic, we've got the intellectual area, and we are currently looking at some tools to see what could be used at certain grade levels. The NAGLIARI and the COGAT have been true. We've been looking at all the research. We've had people come to speak with us from the companies, and we are currently working with somebody named Scott Peters at the UW-Whitewater, who his specialty, he's an associate professor, his specialty is assessment. And so he's been a great help to us. We've had several meetings, and we have some more planned this year. So we feel we have an expert helping to guide us to make our final decisions. We also need to look at the area of visual and performing arts, and the state DPI has come up with guidelines for that. So we have that coming up. We will work with our fine arts director, and we, in the area of creativity, we've already looked at using Torrance measure creativity. We have to decide how to implement it, but we're feeling good about that too as a tool. we also have parent survey, teacher survey, report cards. We want children to be able to submit a portfolio or a video. So we're looking at all these different possibilities to use to form student profiles, okay? And with those student profiles, we'll have a good picture of what this student is, and then we're able to look at the programming, okay? We used to always look at 3 to 5% of the population. Well, the most recent research is showing us that it's not good to set a definite cutoff, okay? That what we need to do is use multiple criteria and from that develop what programming would be the best match. So you may not see a child in or out, okay? We don't want it to be a matter of not letting somebody in. If they need different programming, they need different programming. Of course, we do have to set some guidelines because, you know, we have to make this something that's going to work. But it won't be tight cutoffs like that. Okay, on to programming. Okay, years and years ago, we probably had more programming. We had more takes down. What we recognize now is through good identification, we are able now to think what programming would be the best match. We need programming in all five domains. We realize that. We realize, too, that differentiation training is very, very important for all of our teachers, okay? But we also realize there are some students that differentiation in the classroom will not meet all the needs, and we have to be realistic about that. So we are also looking at some other parts of programming that are very important. One, cluster grouping. In most schools, I would say already, we are seeing cluster grouping happening. And that's pre-planning what students have similar needs to, and placing them in classrooms together so that teachers are differentiating and students are able to work with others that are similar in academic need, okay? We want to make sure that we are increasing our offerings. At elementary school, we would like to see, and I'm sure you will all have suggestions tonight, things like future problem solving offered in schools, okay? Things like the same competitions offered at all schools, so it doesn't matter where you live, that you will be given the same opportunities no matter where that is, okay? We want to make sure that we're increasing our participation in these opportunities. And part of this is our talent development. We've got to work on that. We need to work on identifying underrepresented populations, too, which I forgot in the identification, because then we're going to see everyone represented. And then we need to make sure that we also have in plan, and this is a hard one, the scaffolding and support to make all students who need that programming successful. So we've got a lot of work to do that on that. And we will be working with other committees to do this. This isn't just today, but it's a big part of what we need to do. Vertical teaming. What vertical teaming is to make sure that students are transitioned from school to school, grade to grade. And some of you may have had great years with your students, and all at once the next year, it's not going so good. The information maybe wasn't transferred like it should have been to the next teacher. So we want to make sure that our vertical teaming is in place and is working. And I'll kind of tell you what's going to help us in just a minute. And then acceleration has always been one of our programming options. We will continue to accelerate when needed, but we also want to make sure there are other accommodations in place. So we do need to look at those two. Okay? Then, the last one I'm going to talk about here is our individualized student planning. At this time, everything is on paper copy. Okay? And as you know, sometimes things get lost. And with such a small staff, it's very hard to get to every school, every teacher, with every student. We do our best, but I'm sure somewhere along the line, things are missed. So we're going to start to utilize available technology to keep track of our students. And students who need some different kinds of programming, we will have a DEP, a differentiated education plan for them. This will be online. We're going to start with Infinite Campus. Those of you who are familiar, it's our way of, you know, student information is right there. And we will be working towards using our SIMS, which is our Student Information Managing System, to keep track of what programming would be a good match for each of these students and their strengths, okay? So in the thing that is really good is that having this, through utilizing the technology we have, we will be better at transitioning students from school to school, class to class. And that will be, we're going to feel real good about that. So we're right in the middle of getting this going right now, so we're very excited. I would say it won't be too long before we get something going, okay? So, Bettine, I'm sure you have questions. I'm sorry I couldn't cover everything in this amount of time, but.
Goal number four has to do with socio-emotional needs. And the TAG division is committed to collaborating with student services and district resource staff people involving psychologists, our social workers, and our guidance counselors with hopes of creating programs at the elementary, the middle school, and the high school levels to provide support for TAG students and their families, honoring their socio-emotional needs. We will be using the expertise from local and regional consultants to strengthen MMSD in this endeavor. And talent development is an importance that we will not have any child eliminated who are of a color or have low socioeconomic status or are culturally and linguistically diverse or students who are twice exceptional. As it's noted in our plan, we will research models to involve these students in talent development activities. And this is directly linked and will be made possible by an equitable and inclusive identification process. Goal number five, professional development. PD will be based on research-based best practices in order to provide the foundation to expand knowledge of current TAG research, state laws, and to dispel TAG myths. How will this occur? Our TAG staff, who are currently attending local, state, and national conferences, and who are reading and discussing research articles, and who have ongoing consultant meetings with local expertise, will be facilitating dialogues and discussion with instructional administrators and Doyle-based staff, so as to become part of our district programs, initiatives, and committees. And some of these are the MMSD strategic plan, the small learning grant. Instructional resource teachers are another important connection we need to be connected with that group of people. Learning coordinators in the middle school, high school department chairs, and the teaching and learning department. Goal number six, as Carrie spoke of, is technology. And of course, expanded use of technology will provide a consistent electronic process which directly supports TAG identification information by maintaining the differentiated education plan, the DEP. And these will be located on two systems, the Infinite Campus and SIMS, the Student Information Management System. Inclusion within these systems is so important and necessary in order to monitor program accountability. And goal number seven, communication. The TAG division will be creating a resource guide. It's going to be composed of articles, a glossary, resources, and much more. It's going to be based on DPI's guide, which is due to be published in January. This guide will be located at each of our school sites. It's going to be available for teachers and parents to refer to. It's to be printed in English, Hmong, and Spanish. Newsletters sent home from schools have been used to advertise our TAG events. Quarterly updates will also be sent to school staffs and families. And as was mentioned before, we ask you to please check our TAG website for monthly updates. There is also an advisory committee that has been formed, composed of 30, it's a 30-member committee, which consists of school principals, teachers, community members, and students. They met in October and will again meet in December, February, April, and June to provide ongoing communication and response to evaluating the TAG plan. They also may be asked to participate in subcommittee meetings. And then goal number eight. Program evaluation. Program evaluation is ongoing to ensure program effectiveness and program alignment with the MMSD strategic plan, Wisconsin state statutes, and the National Association for Gifted Children standards. The TAG team is accountable to the Board of Education with quarterly, mid-year, and end-of-the-year reports, and the TAG team advisory committee through meeting participation and website updates. Non-MMSD expertise are being enlisted to help review the plan as revisions occur. When one reviews all the details of this very ambitious TAG plan, we have to remember that it is a work in progress to be accomplished within the next 3 years. Thank you for your time.
Even though we have such a large group, we are going to try to do breakout sessions. We have 10 questions are indicated on the tables themselves. You get to go to two sessions, but we're running a little bit late, so we're going to do 15 minutes per session. Pick two questions to focus on, and we'll transition after 15 minutes. Again, if something does not get addressed, you attend a question and something doesn't get touched upon, please put it on an index card and drop it off for us. I hope I explained that well enough. Yeah.
Where is the table for open-ended discussion of the plan?
Okay. I also forgot to mention that Dan Nierad and I will be across the hall in room 160. So if something on that, the five questions, doesn't address what you want to talk about and you want to ask other questions, Dan and I will be across the hall to do that.
We have about 35 chairs only in that room. So think about
we're fine standing.
If you really want that open forum, head that way. Otherwise, the questions are on the table.
Yep. Can I make a suggestion? Table number one, you can perhaps raise your table pen so people know where to go.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'll be in the
ease and completion. I mean, I get that point, and that's a very valid point. And then as we create the plans, you know, for kids, that, you know, we try to integrate with work that teachers are already doing, certainly creating a separate plan. But, you know, we've got this tool that was referred to tonight at SIMS, where that, by its very design, is intended to give teachers, through a computer-based menu, alternatives on what they can do to help a particular child. Now, we have a lot of conversation that needs to happen in order to make that occur. But I think that's part of our thinking, and I guess what I can assure you is that, I guess my sense would be, is that we can't go forward with this without creating some additional expectation. But I think we can also manage that expectation in as a positive way as we can for teachers, because we want them, you know, we heard tonight that our identification that we have done to date has been more reactive. We're looking for a more proactive identification model. And all of that calls for people feeling good about what, you know, about that work. So that, and the last point I would make is we're going to have to support our teachers and provide good professional development as this works out.
Let me just make one more follow-up question, and I'll shut up. Is there some way to involve community resources, reach outside the school district professionals to smooth the path?
That would be part of what we're hoping to do with programming. Currently, we feel that at the elementary level, for example, we are very limited in what we are providing currently. We do subject acceleration meaning that we have students go to the next grade level. We do full grade skips very rarely, but that does happen. Oftentimes, we try to keep the students in the classroom. We look for like peers, academic peers. That's sort of been our focus, and we're hoping to expand upon that. But we look for, you know, academic peers in the classroom and then work with the teacher to meet those student needs. And that is definitely exactly one area we need to expand upon, because those are our programming options now. So that is why that is a goal in the plan, actually, to explore and expand what we currently do for programming, because we know that it's limited.
I'd like to follow up on the issue of technology that you mentioned. Wonderful to get information online, but the computers that are available to the teachers in our school are so woefully inadequate and slow that they're unable to use them for virtually anything. So I'm wondering what resources will be available to make the technology work in the classroom.
Clearly that has to happen. Whether we were gathering tonight about this issue or other issues, I mean, it's a very distinct need. If I might ask, are you at elementary?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can tell you that just this week we were informed that our three-year technology plan update, which is kind of a parallel plan that we developed, and that one is actually required by law as well, has just been approved by the DPI. And that plan is also ambitious because it intends to bring new technologies into our schools. I can also tell you, as a parallel to this, we are involved with the city, county, and the university in looking at better access entirely within our community. Allow teachers to do their work at home, allow parents to help their children at home. So there's some kind of embryonic but exciting things that are out there. Having said that, all of this will happen with additional resources. And so one of the things that we're going to have to revisit, and we have not had new discussions about that, is whether or not there's a need for another technology referendum sometime down the road. But I can also tell you in the short term that we are using some of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds for technology, for additional hardware, for additional software. Will it meet the need? No, it won't. Is it a good one-time expense based on what ARRA called for? Yes, it is. So, I'm a believer, and we've got to kind of set our sights out there, and then we have to kind of work on, well, how can we do this piece and how can we do that piece? At the same time, I'll be the first to recognize that in order to make this work, we're going to need improved technology. I absolutely agree with you.
Well, what about the issue of resources generally? I know that, for example, having one tag resource person for 9 schools just doesn't seem adequate.
Right.
Is there a plan to increase staff, or what other ways are there that you're looking at?
Yeah, you heard my comment tonight when I made the statement that in recognition of that we are understaffed. I can tell you that we did add one additional position that the Board of Education approved through ARRA funds, and so that's a start along the way. But we're going to need to do more, and I guess what I would like you to recognize is that I know that. At the same time, we are going to need a lot of help to make that happen. And this forum is about TAG tonight, so I won't spend much time on it. But this draconian funding formula that we continue to exist under is causing all kinds of constraints, especially when you want to start dreaming about the right things to do for children. And, we're going to dream, and that's why this plan was asked to be constructed. We need to improve our effort in this area. But I can tell you its realization will come from all of us around the whole adequate resource piece. And again, I don't want to dwell on that tonight, but it's merely in recognition that to make a lot of this happen, we need that kind of support. And it's not just, TAG needs, there's our whole strategic plan that calls for additional resources. And so my hope is at some point that you too see that link that needs to be created, and you'll do whatever you can in your advocacy to create better funding for our schools.
The other thing, can I add to that before we take another question, is the status of the positions that are open. And I would just speak to that a little bit. I meant to in the large group. We are being much more careful than we've ever been before in who we're selecting for these positions. And that really has been the holdup. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, I will tell you, we get many, many applicants, but we're looking for people specifically with TAG background, and that actually came from several sources hoping that we would do that. Mm-hmm. So that is currently what we're doing, and it's a lengthy process because, again, as you can imagine, I get people that apply. They might have TAG background, but they may not fit the needs of the district. And I get many, many, many more that have no TAG background. So I have people applying with TAG background, and we're moving forward on that as much as we possibly can. I'm here, Bonnie.
I would like to ask about the financial constraints. Obviously, that's a constraint on many areas of development in MMSD. But one of my concerns is that we're using the model usually used for special ed and applying it to other groups. If you look at the research that NAGC has, their position statement, it was at the tables in the LMC. The NAGC position statement is all about grouping. What high ability students need is to be ability grouped both for their emotional needs, their intellectual needs, their academic needs. And that doesn't require much more money to do. And in addition, it makes it much more practical to support the teacher then with an appropriate curriculum for those students. The plan, as I see it, is very complicated and very costly, and I don't see how it can be practically affected with the staff that we have, not the staff that we could have, and not even the staff that if you were to put a whole bunch more money in, because it's not a model that is designed for high-ability students.
You know, there are several ways to look at that, and I thank you for that input. One of the things that this plan does call for is professional development, and at the same time, there is a call for cluster grouping in the plan. It has to be implemented effectively, and part of it is to ensure that we're also training our principals, because you're right, once we build the capacity for this type of practice, we can practice this way in our schools. And we do have good examples where that's happening right now, but the issue for us is building much greater capacity around that. I don't know if you would agree with that, or
I would agree with that, and I would also add, Bonnie, that I feel positive. I feel good about the fact that it's even in the plan at all. That is a huge shift, in my opinion, for this district to adopt a practice, consistent practice around grouping students. So, to me, the good news is that there's potential for that, and it's in a plan, and it's in a strategic plan, not listed as cluster grouping, but lifting kids up. So with regard to the cluster grouping, again, I feel glad that it's in the plan, and I see it as a process. I think it's going to be, I shouldn't say I think, it will be addressed, but it's not going to happen overnight because it's not been done consistently in this district.
I need to check whether or not there's anyone in this room that wants to go to one of the five tables. We said at 15 minutes we would offer that to people. So those other groups are shifting to provide some additional input on their five questions. That doesn't mean that anyone has to choose that option. I just want to make it available. So with that said, yes?
My daughter goes to Nuestro Mundo, which is the Spanish immersion school. So this is the first year we have heard anything about talented and gifted for her. And my concern is certainly in student identification. I mean, not only do you have a school with a lot of people in the lower socioeconomic group, different cultural backgrounds, language, you know, the first few years of teaching are taught in Spanish, yet the testing they just took in third grade is in English. So they're never going to be reflected in that test.
Kind of hard to believe.
Yeah. My concern is, what kinds of identification processes are going to be in effect for dealing with students that not only come in other schools that don't come from English-speaking backgrounds, but are in schools that are designed to be bilingual?
I can speak to that a little bit. Again, I feel that there are doors being opened and collaboration happening that have not happened previously. So for example, I'm seeking out the input of other resources in the district to help us figure out that part of, we want to accomplish that and approach that. And I'm, again, looking to the other experts in the district to help us figure that out.
In this case, it's with our educational services department, exactly, who have that work on a daily basis. And together with TAG staff, we will figure out a way to do that, because we have to. But keep in mind, just the statement that Carrie or Bikin made earlier tonight, is that we're committed to an identification system that, number one, is consistent with the state statute for TAG, but there's a lot of work to get this done, and that work is progressing. I think it'll also be good, and Barbie made this point earlier, that the extent to which we can align it to our overall changes in student assessment with the WKCE going away, what will come in its place, and can some of those tools help as part of the identification process? So a lot of work on that, but it's critically important work. Right now we do not have an established identification system that goes beyond the academic areas and primarily for planning focuses on mathematics.
It's academic.
And so we know there are five areas and we're committed to finding tools in all five of those areas. But that was also part of my statement tonight about, you know, we need a lot of support to get there. And if you have thoughts and ideas and input on that, we certainly want to hear from you. TJ?
First, I want to thank you for talking about the resources and the need in the Draconian State system. And tell anyone who wants to help fix that, apennyforkids.com is a new campaign trying to fix that. But beyond that, two quick questions and one short, very short statement. Number one, first question is, and they're kind of related. There was money in the budget for kindergarten, for nonverbal assessments for TAG kids. What's the progress on that?
Nonverbal assessments. We actually did a pilot 2 years ago with a nonverbal assessment tool. We've since then learned that we would get more bang for our buck, basically, with another tool. So we're looking at that.
There was $20,000 in the budget for this school year for that.
Actually, what I'm recalling, and we can certainly check on
maybe we can.
I'm actually recalling that there were some funds set aside in the ARA for TAG identification.
There was also actually some in the May budget too before ARA.
Right, we'll look at that.
Second thing is, do you have baseline data on the demographics of who's been identified up to this point?
Well, and I just pulled the numbers very recently, and again, this is the whole point of doing this and writing this plan, is because of how we approach those numbers. And I will just share this as an example. When Dan started a year ago, he asked for the numbers and the data. We couldn't give it to him because we don't use our technology the way we could. And so that's really actually truthfully bothered me from the very beginning. Because, again, we couldn't give him the numbers. I recently collected all the information that we could. And again, it's that reactive mode to identifying kids, so the numbers are pretty low. And to go back to what we were saying.
Can you publish that or post it with the demographics, particularly low-income, minority, Spanish, things like that? I mean, I really hope we increase identification and do a much better job of inclusive identification. To do that, I think we need to know how bad a job we've been doing to this point.
Yeah, it's been very reactive and it's not necessarily inclusive. We really need to expand on that. And that's why I'm reaching out to other people to help us figure out.
And I don't know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I frankly, based on the request I made for the data and kind of thinking about what do we need to do, let's go create a TAG plan, was just because there weren't answers to those types of questions. So I'm also a little bit worried whatever we would post based on the past is insufficient. So I think that the best thing for us to do is to tell you it's insufficient and that there is no way, if we do this work the way we want to do this work, that those numbers won't go up. I mean, they will go up.
And the last thing I just want to is just a quick statement is that I hope you're very, very careful about using achievement tests to measure ability, because most of the things that you've identified as identifiers are not ability tests, but rather achievement tests, the Torrance being the exception. And these are different things, and if we want to catch the people who are being missed, we have to use different assessment tools.
And that's what we're looking at doing, in the combination of academic and yes.
I was surprised actually to see the high school curriculum issue as identified showing up as one of the top priorities. Not that I totally understand concerns there, but to me it's at the middle school level where I've heard the most concern and seems to be at a crisis level in terms of at least frustration. And when and maybe I'm just saying this is more of a communication or a PR issue, that when you see the TAG staff introduced and have them all identify themselves as elementary school coordinated, and then wonder what's happening in the middle school, it reinforces the exact concern we have. And so I just want you to comment on that.
And part of our problem, in real terms, is that our middle school staff member and our high school staff, it was two, right?
It was two people. They
left the department right before the start of the school year,
and
went to another department.
They actually both left and went to other things. But I think what the position themselves. It's always sort of been viewed that elementary is a different, has a different nature to it, because that's where a lot of the identification happens. And then at middle and high school, students have already been identified, and so there are different needs for those students and different coordinating efforts that need to happen with that population. So historically, it's been more staff members at the elementary level, and then that's exactly what happened. We had the two people we had at middle high both leave at the same time. So those are our vacancies, and that is what we're looking to hire for, obviously. We've been trying to handle, all of the elementary staff are trying to, you know, handle it the best we can among ourselves. And then we have Sue Steffens, who actually is subbing until we fill those positions. And I'm really close. I have, you know, I talked about the positions already, but we're being picky about that.
Yeah. Quick question from the presentation earlier. It sounds to me as an outsider like the demands we are placing on the TAG staff are increasing exponentially. There is a need to research best practices. There is a need to enhance the communication and update the website periodically. There's going to be a need because increased number of kids are going to be identified. There's going to be a need because increased types of giftedness are going to be identified. And there's going to be increased program evaluation. And I'm worried that that is going to come at the expense of reduced from what's already a very low level of service. And if I look at the range of things that TAG is promising to do, it sounds like you need a 40-person department, not an 8-person department.
Right, and I agree. And that makes me think of one of the board meetings when we were covering the plan and the board members were looking at the plan. Ed Hughes spoke of that and said, you know, this seems almost impossible. I will just say that, you know, 2.5 months have passed and we are doing the best we can with every single goal. At this point in time, and that's all we can do. And truthfully, I've heard in the field numerous times, we should have written it for 5 years. I mean, change of this magnitude is, you know, it takes a long time.
And what I would ask you to consider, just keep in mind, there's a lot of content change, meaning, you know, what we do at the high school, what we do with identification, what we do with programming. But there's a lot of cultural change that needs to occur in the district as well. Mm-hmm. And so this is about a change process for our school district, and we're going to need a lot of help and support and understanding. Again, I want to repeat, that point's not lost on me, in the budget we were able to add, we haven't filled it yet, the board did support an additional position, and my commitment will be to go year by year to see what else we can do. And part of that butts up with these other issues that we're facing, but I at least want you to understand that I think our kids call for us to think about what's needed and then to figure out, you know, do we need more years to get it done? But if you only occupy yourself with the fact that this is a very resource-constrained time, which it is, you never paint the ideas about what you want to do to get better. And, you know, I think the fact that we did not have an update in this plan since 1991, and that there was an eagerness to create it, and we're capitalizing on that. You know, keep us propped up. You know, share your concerns. You know, we will continue to listen, but we do have a lot of work. And I guess my assurance is we'll go year by year and see what additional we can do.
I have a question that's related to the middle school question, but also, I wonder if there's any consideration for how a child moves from a district that has services and has a program and then comes to a district like this that doesn't. And then a program where we had assessment on the 5 homies or whatever, which leads to my second question, which is whether or not you are looking at districts within Wisconsin and the model so that you don't have to reinvent.
Yes.
And then finally, my last point, 3 to 5 years is probably what it's going to take. But for many of us, my child will have graduated by then. So I guess I'm wondering if there's a strategic plan that allows for immediate service and long-range planning that can occur simultaneously so that children don't lose services.
Yeah. I mean, that's our hope. Because, you know, and the TAG staff have been reminding me, because, you know, now we have a plan, and they're working on the plan, but we also have to work on serving children, too. at the same time. And we're going to try to do both. And I think once we get fully staffed, at least within the number of positions we'll have, we'll be at least at a place where we can be more responsive than we are right now. But, you know, we have a lot of work ahead of us. And I, you know, as the plan was constructed, I had staff along the way, you know, kind of tell me, you know, is this timeline, do you think we can meet it? And part of it is, you know, we're going to push as much as we can to meet these timelines. But there's also, as you know, there's a lot here, and I'd rather have a lot about what's right and then make some adjustments along the way. Because I think eventually we get there. You know, what happens, time expands a little bit, but we'll get there. And that's the case with our strategic plan as well. I mean, I think if you look at the resources there, you know, people have said to me, why would you develop a plan at this time, given the fact that you're so constrained? Well, what road do we want to be on? And we're going to have to make some choices, and what are our priorities around children? And again, that's my I'm just trying to share my personal bias from a leadership point of view, is I'd rather have us know what we need to do and adjust here and adjust there than not have this roadmap, because I think without this map, we're going to sell our kids short.
And that's the language Dan used as we were writing our plan and completing the plan in August. We, as you know, we spent a lot of time writing it, many months, and we so appreciate all of the input that we got in doing that. And there was actually talk of extending that deadline into, say, January or December of, which would be now. And, you know, Dan's charge was, we need to put something out there. It's going to be a working document. It is a map. It is, you know, a start. And you adjust as you need to as you do the work. So I really appreciate that. We didn't really address her fully about coming to a district. You know, I don't have an answer to you about the programming piece because we know that we're limited in programming.
I guess one thing I would say additionally to what Barbie has said is contact one of the TAG staff members.
Just gonna say that.
Let's have a conversation about what's needed.
Have you done
that? We have.
Okay.
This isn't the right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you
for that.
Yes.
I have a question about the high school level. I'm wondering how far the TAG division has come in assessing what accelerated advanced and honors options there are, because they have been inconsistent across the district, and whether there are plans in place to open up advanced accelerated classes to every grade level, 9th and 10th grade, as well as the upper class levels.
I
can speak a little bit to that. Again, I'm sort of just going to, from my perspective, talk about, again, the doors that I feel have been opened in that regard. There are many other initiatives happening in that regard with the strategic.
But one of the things I'm going to urge us to think about, which I think is, you know, behind your question, the answer is we've begun, there's more work ahead with that, is that we have to look at more consistent offerings and then define what should be additional on top of that could be unique for school.
I have a quick follow-up to that.
She had that her hand up for a while.
Okay. We'll come to you. Okay.
I have a very basic question. I'm just trying to picture, let's say I had a child who, let's say they're gifted, how would I know that through this process, or how would they actually be identified? You know, I've got an entering kindergartner who might be gifted. You know, what is that process? What should I expect as a parent?
Again, that's why we wrote the plan, and that's some of the things that's one of the goals. That's what we've identified we need to work on, because again, as Carrie spoke of, we appreciate it, we like the work, of course, we're thrilled to do it, but right now we get a phone call, and that's how we get consider a referral. But we don't have a screening process in place where we're identifying all kids and then get our caseload, basically. So the process hopefully will change when we adopt some of those tools to help us identify and then have a process in place. And I mean, it would be the same thing that, you know, we would contact you, of course, have a team around planning for that, and we're going to call it a DEP, which is a switch for us, but it will be an identification process.
One of the things that one way to answer your question is it will be, you know, a teacher-involved identification process. But I'm more familiar, and I don't know to what extent we've even talked about this, so I'm probably creating another set of objectives for them, is where there's also parent nomination, where there's a student can nominate, can I say I have unique needs, and the extent to which this can be very broad-based in terms of who feels a child has unique needs, that's what we should be responsible to. And so teacher identification, parent identification, student identification, that's what I'm hoping for. Now, I promised I'd come back here, then I'll come back to you.
Although Barbie's gone now.
Okay. You want to hold until
well,
she comes
no,
back?
It's okay. No, because you should be able to answer
okay.
it, too.
Sure.
I would
yes,
hope.
Sure.
I would hope, Dan. Yeah. I don't know. But when we, working on the plan, we're talking about high schools.
Right.
And I will say, to just touch base with Bonnie's question a little earlier,
sure.
when it comes to middle and high school, it's true, identification is less important. Programming becomes disproportionately more important.
Right.
And I think Bonnie's question about whole classes, not just cluster groups of a few students, was really at the heart of her question, because that does not cost money. But that's not my question. I just wanted to clarify what she was really getting at. Because it does...
practices which we haven't really addressed in the plan.
Right. So this is true also at the high school level, and I wanted to follow up on Lori's question. When we were working on the plan this summer and on the day when we were talking about high school programming and the differences across the high schools, changes happening in some of the high schools, the high school redesign, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about the importance of getting the work done at the high school level. It's critically important to get the work done in order to impact the course catalog for the following year, because that's the only chance you have once a year. And so my question is, are we on target to do that for the 2010-2011 school year, which is what we agreed in July we would do?
Right. Here's what I would say.
So we were talking about what they should be including in the DEPs and how those things can transition. And sort of in summary, we talked about the fact that all the different test scores, sort of an obvious thing, but the less obvious thing is the less testable things, like matching teachers' teaching styles with student learning styles. That's sort of hard to quantify, but it's pretty important.
And where's the other parent?
Right here. And yeah, we included those things as well. And then we had two concerns with that. One is that the question of transition from year to year, not just from school to school, and that the information that is passed along in whatever DEP or INSET or whatever it's going to be called, most of us felt the frustration in telling the same story year after year after year to the, trying to get that information passed along. And then secondly, the information included a point about using new technology. That's great, but only if everybody uses it. Nobody uses Infant Campus now. Why would there be any reason for Infant Campus to be part of this if nobody's using it? And if it is being used, that's fantastic, because then we don't have to tell our stories year after year after year. So those are two additional points that we'd add to that.
Okay, number four on socio-emotional needs.
We had the question about the high school reflecting on the redesigning curriculum offer for students to better meet the students' needs. And the groups that I talked to, the two groups, they definitely don't, they want to continue with the flexibility. They've seen a decrease and they don't want that flexibility to keep going down. Definitely meeting the needs of all. And then you talked a lot about the vertical teaming that we'd like to see happen, about what you were talking about. Telling the story, every year having to start over with, a whole new set of people and seeing that that information easier, making that transition easier every year for them. They want to keep the AP courses, the honor courses. They don't want to see a decrease. And when we get to the arts and that kind of the world languages, when a teacher retires, they want to make sure that that teacher's replaced and we don't just drop that program overall.
What did you mean by the flexibility in the high school?
The flexibility of different electives that are being offered.
It's a similar strand to being able to access whatever the next level.
And the student having the flexibility to choose classes.
And we have another one over here.
Right. I'm just going to add to the other group one, but a big concern that came out, or I shouldn't say concern, but just a challenge is to make sure that we support teacher education on what is gifted and talented, as well as providing resources that support that, and then opportunities for classroom teachers and TAG staff to collaborate with each other so that the education isn't a drop by to the classroom, do a few things and leave, but it continues throughout a child's education. So that was a huge part, just resources, staff, education, and consistency.
And the themes from group three are similar to what we heard earlier, a lot about what are the assessments and how do we know what the assessments are and how our kids perform. A lot about communication. How do I know that my child is identified as a student with a talent or a gift? And then what does that mean in terms of programming?
Group four. We were together on group four. This is a social-emotional component, and there was a lot of good suggestions. The first group talked a lot about addressing the isolation of a specific child, and if they were alone at a school as a TAG student, how could they get better connected? What would be some options for that? And that was a pretty big part of the first discussion. And the second group had a lot of great ideas. There was, first of all, the component of connecting kids with other kids that were not just their age mate peers, but also intellectual peers, and having those kids have an opportunity to get together to talk at their level, and also connecting those kids with an adult at the school other than a parent whether it's a counselor, somebody that they could talk out their issues with at a more advanced level than they would be able to do with their peers. And I guess I'll just add another thing that group mentioned was support for parents to know how to talk to their kids, and also for parents to be able to connect with each other, so for us to provide a way for them to connect with each other. Is there another four?
It was us.
All right. And number five, talking about communication and program evaluation.
And many of you discussed communication in your points, so I'll reiterate. There's still a lot that is not known about TAG opportunities, so finding some ways to get this information to everyone. IC was mentioned as one way, but as we know, not all parents have access to computers, and not all parents use the IC. So finding some ways to get that message out to all parents consistently. Also, communication of progress in the plan. You know, when you have a child who has been labeled or is in some sort of a plan, what's the protocol? When do they get that information about how they're doing? How should parents contact the district? Do they contact the teacher? Do they go to the TAG teacher right away? Do they go to the principal? You know, what should they do? So some more information about parents so it's not so nebulous, you know, a few suggestions perhaps so they have a clear picture of where to go or what questions to ask.
Thank you. So that gives you a snapshot view of some of the conversation in the other groups, and I'm going to turn it back over to Barb.
I'm just going to close by talking about a few of the next steps. Obviously, we're going to take all this information, compile it, and post it on our website by the 14th, that's the week of the 14th, I'm projecting a few weeks out. Again, if you feel like there was something not addressed, please fill out a card and put it in one of the drop bins. We're going to share this information with the TAG advisory. They are meeting again on December 15th, so we will share that information then. And we're going to continue to ask for your input in this regard. I would like to just say thank you so much to the Hamilton staff, Hank and Deb, and the person that is Julie. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We look forward to continuing our work. We're very excited, and we thank you.